Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
I showed a YouTube video a while back. I got a YouTube video that I'd watched back before that, and it's about the Amish. Have you ever seen it? They're going to move a barn. Any of you have ever seen that, where they move it? It's a big old barn. But yet they all get together and walk next to you. All you see is little legs underneath the barn going. And this barn is huge as they're moving it from point A to point B. You'd think no way man could move that. But listen, when we come together, when a group of people come together with one mind, one purpose, it's no telling what can take place. It's in that one accord, and that's what the book of Acts says and talks about. See, the enemy knows what happens when a church or even a local church gets in one accord. His goose is cooked. I was going to say turkey, but he knows that when we all get together, there's something that happens when God's people gets in one mind, one spirit, and one purpose. It's amazing what God can do through a people like that, and what the enemy cannot keep from happening when we're all in one accord. Paul says, I need you to be that way. One purpose. This is why he will do whatever he can and use whoever he can to disrupt the unity of the church. Why? Because he knows if he can keep the church divided, he can keep it from accomplishing what God wants accomplished in the church. The purpose is to fight together, not with each other. Striving together, not striving among us. Not fighting among us, but for us to be going forward is what the word means. Together, pulling together, just as the Amish would move the barn, we are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sometimes it's small steps, and other times it's huge steps, but we are to continually to strive together. If you can imagine the barn being the purpose, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we strive together to make it go forward to where people will be saved and lives will be changed. Paul saying you need to do that. Is to advance the faith. I was listening to a preacher the other day, well, yesterday morning, I guess it was. I was bored with the Christmas music, and I was bored with the country music that all I could pick up. So I thought, hey, I got an iPhone. I'll listen to some preaching. So I did, driving about 75 miles an hour, 80. Good sermon. The more he'd preach, the faster I'd know. But, you know, to advance the faith is the purpose of the church. We are to make disciples, but we are to share. And every one of us in the room, this is Mission Sunday, every one of us in this room have a ministry, and it's called the ministry of reconciliation. And that is to bring people back to God. If you've been brought to God, how many have been brought to the Lord? Everybody but three. You three come down front after service. We'll fix that up. Every one of us that have been saved, listen, every one of us have a ministry. And that is to bring people back to the Lord. But we have that purpose to advance the faith. That's what a mission statement's about. For a local body like this, the mission statement, building the Lord's church according to His precepts, or the one that we have out on the wall, the vision statement, connecting, teaching, and engaging all people, all ages for Christ. Can I tell you, those are nothing but words on the wall until we come together. You said, Pastor, you've been preaching that for 2 years. Guess what I'm waiting on? For us all to come together and start doing this and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in strong opposition, we are to commit to the cause. Verse 28, talks about adversaries, talking about them that are coming against the gospel, those that are coming against the church at Philippi. Listen, have you felt anybody coming against the church lately? Even in that, we are still to advance the gospel of Jesus. In verse 27, he tells them to stand fast. That's not the first time. You find it in Ephesians when he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole army of God that you may be able to stand fast against the wiles of the devil." He uses the word terrify, to be fearful. It literally means to be intimidated. When someone's trying to intimidate you, many times that they mean what it means is that they don't have the power to really keep you from doing what they're trying to do. So they use this ideal of intimidation. It could be somebody in your workplace that tries to intimidate you by, if you don't quit doing that, I'm going to do this. But let me tell you something today. What the Bible is, what he's telling to the church of Philippi, even though they're trying to intimidate you, even though they're trying to put fear in you, he says, stand firm. Don't go backwards, but stand up for what you know God would have you to do. Be committed to the purpose, even when people are in opposition to you. Sometimes, if you haven't figured out, if you stand for the Lord, it will cost you. If you stand for the Lord, there's going to be those that will come against you. But he says, do not let them intimidate you. No matter what the situation, don't be terrified. One of the most inspiring examples of courage in the history of the church was the Polycarp, who was got martyred for the gospel. He was burned at the stake for his faith. The aged Polycarp had been arrested by the Roman authorities and brought to the arena for execution in front of the cheering crowd. The proconsul pressed him hard and said, "Swear, and I will release you. Revile Christ." And Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me wrong. And how can now I blaspheme my king that has saved me?" What is it talking about? Standing firm no matter what comes, or the adversary. I mean, you know, they were trying to do a little more than intimidate him, but they were fixing to take his life. We are to stand firm no matter what comes our way. Listen, there have been some churches and Christians, even in our own nation, that have felt this in America today. I got news. We just need to stand firm no matter what happens. I know that we think we have won with the last election, but my friend, what's been going on in this country is deeply rooted, and a lot of it's rooted against the church and Christianity. It's not over. And I think we need to hear the advice that Paul gave the church in Philippi. Stand firm. Don't bow down. Be committed to the cause no matter what comes at us. Let us be committed to the cause. Last part. Concede to the truth concerning suffering. Listen, this morning I know there's been many crowds built on the blessing message. There's many crowds been built, name it and claim it. A lot of preachers preach nothing but blessing, blessing, blessing. And there's been many that have been built on a concert of worship. You know, it's just like you go into a concert and there's been many a churches built because of the worship music. You know, I have found out as a pastor, it will surprise you why people would pick churches. I had one tell me last week and I'm going, really? Well, in my head, I was going, really? It's amazing how churches are built. And some are built on the concept of self-helps. But not many are built on the concept of suffering. Come to Jesus and suffer. Come to the Lord and suffer. Not many are built with that thought or that ideal, but Paul loved the church in Philippi enough to let them know that they are to participate some suffering in their life. After all, they were in a very tight-knit Roman citizenship that would not accept any outside influence. How many know that's just remedy, or that's just going to take, that is a recipe for suffering? Because now they're going to be acting, or being citizens of heaven, they're going to act different. He's not just writing this. He's forewarning them that when they actually act like citizens of heaven, they are going to suffer some things in their life. I found out a long time ago, and I believe I've told you this. There's no telling what I've told you in the last 16 years. But I found out a long time ago on the playground at elementary school when we'd play tackle the man with the ball. I found out I could run all over the place, and when they all got ready to tackle me, I'd just throw the ball. And guess what? They didn't tackle me except for some hard-headed ones. And oftentimes when it comes to our gospel message or our Christian life, when things start squeezing into us, we will either be quiet or silent, or we'll throw off. And Paul was trying to prepare this church in Philippi to understand that there will be suffering. If you truly live like a citizen of heaven, you're going to suffer for the cross of Calvary. It won't build a big crowd. But my friend, I'd rather have someone like Paul telling me what's going to happen and for me to know it. Because suffering is part of it. Later on in the book of Philippians, we'll find that he really meant what he said. See, don't get me wrong this morning. I believe we are blessed. We have a good, we can have good Holy Spirit worship. And I believe the Bible does speak that that has ways that we can live better lives. It has relationships, helps. It has all kinds of things. But let us remember the fact that also when we live like God wants us to live, there's going to be some suffering in our life also. Don't think it odd, the trial that you're going through, because others are going through the same trial. That's part of the Christian walk, is that we do suffer. See, I believe we do an injustice when we do not preach the whole Word of God in people's lives. Paul wanted the church at Philippi to understand suffering is part of the journey. See, we will suffer for our faith if we stand true to our faith. 2 Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not maybe, but will. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Suffering for Christ, 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Can I tell you, we may suffer loss of our family. We may suffer the loss of our jobs, material things, loss of friends, excommunicated, locked up, or even physical harm. But suffering is in the life of the Christian. Understand it. You know, when you're going through a difficult time, if it's about your relationship with Christ, just praise God. Because something you're doing is getting on somebody's nerves. Revelation 1, 9 through 11, I, John, both you, your brother and companion, the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God. Why was he on the island of Patmos? For the Word of God. Why was he suffering? For the Word of God. Why had he been boiled in oil? Because of the Word of God. Why did he not have any friends out there? Because of the Word of God. Come on, friends, we read it and we think, man, way to go, John! But Paul's telling the church at Philippi, you're going to suffer if you truly live your life like citizens of heaven. There's going to be that suffering. But guess what? I love the story. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, insinuating actually the rapture. Listen, the disciples in Acts 5:41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council. What? They had been arrested for what? The Word of God. They'd been arrested for their relationship with Christ. They got arrested because they were preaching Jesus saved. And you know, that really got that community, because at that moment it was the old sacrificial system, and they're saying Jesus died. We don't need that stuff anymore. It's just a recipe to suffer. I'm going to tell you today, we need a recipe to suffer a little bit. We need to share Jesus a little more often. Amen? We need to stand up for the Christ of Calvary. But at sometimes they say, don't even end your prayer in the name of Jesus. I love those preachers that when they tell them that at the end of their prayer, and they'll go, and the prayer gets loud, and they'll go, in Jesus' name. And they'll say, no more prayer. That's all right. But I'm saying today is those before us understood that. And Paul was telling them, part of your Christian life is going to be suffering if you're going to share Jesus. Share Jesus. I've heard Christians say, hey, let's don't talk like that. We don't want to stir up the devil. Really? Because I heard that the devil's head was under the feet of our Lord. Amen? Let's not watch what you say online, because you're going to get cut off Facebook. Who cares? I'm just saying today it's time that we wake up. Because if we're trying to avoid all that because we don't want suffering in our life, then we are really not following the cross of Calvary. Hours and something left. I've made 3 points, though. Listen, I want to ask you this morning, how's your conduct? Does your conduct reflect that you're a citizen of heaven? I know, listen, all of us, there's not a one of us that are perfect here. Not any of us. And we make mistakes. But does our conduct reflect us being citizens of heaven? Do we have mercy and love for that person that perhaps made a mistake towards you? Come on, that's just as important. Because there's not a one of us that... Sometimes we just have bad days, or things happen. Does our conduct reflect that we're citizens of heaven? We should live different. We should have different customs. I thank God. You know, I don't care if I'm preaching or not. Guess what my custom is going to be? This day, first day of the week, it's going to be Jesus' day. Is that what? You can ask my family. It was that way before I got saved. I felt guilty this morning, Megan, because I watched a little TV on Sunday morning. But we never did that because I wanted these kids to be ready to be at God's house on Sunday morning. If you got 3 women in the house, you know you got to do things. Especially when you only had 1 bathroom. I'm just saying today there's customs, there's things. Is our conduct, the way I live my life, does it say I'm a citizen of heaven, or does it say I'm walking the fence? You got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in heaven. Does people know that I belong to heaven? And do we act like it among ourselves to love and forgive and let love cover a multitude of sins? Is my commitment there, church? We got to get committed. What to? Advancing the faith. We got to be one mind, one spirit, one purpose. Advancing the faith. To go forward. Be committed to it. And believe me, the enemy tries to throw whatever he can to discourage us. It's a discouraging time. It can be in the church right now. But let me tell you something. If we get our mind made up, we can be like that little fella that, you know, he got asked to pray for the Thanksgiving meal. He looked around. He didn't see anything on the table that he liked. And then he says, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but bless it anyhow. Oh, come on, you can get your eye on what can discourage, or you can get your eye on what God told us to do. Amen? Be committed. Concede. Concede to the ideal that, yes, we will suffer. But I got news for you. We don't suffer alone. Christ will be there with us. I love when Paul was on the shipwreck and all that, and I love the story because I'm not part of the story. But I love the story that Christ appeared to him. Where? In the midst of that storm. and encourage and strengthen him. Why was he headed that direction? Why was he on the ship? Because the Word of God. Come on. Jesus walks with us. Everybody stand this morning. Three points that Paul made: conduct, commit, and concede. I want to ask you this morning, where are you struggling at? Every head bowed just for a moment. I just want, just for a moment, maybe you're here this morning and you need to get a directional change on your conduct as far as heaven goes. Maybe your commitment is not being where it needs to be for the purpose. Or maybe you're going through some suffering right now. I want to encourage you, just hang in there, because Christ will help you. Lord, this morning we thank you, Lord, for this few verses, God, that Paul penned to the church at Philippi. And Lord, this morning I pray, God, if any of us need help in these areas, God, that I've preached about, or the points that Paul made, God, I pray that you would just enlighten us and give us the strength, God, to get things right, or encourage us, Lord, in the midst of this struggle that we're going through, or the suffering that we're feeling in our lives, maybe perhaps family and different people, God. But Lord, I just pray for each person here and those that are watching online. Lord, I pray that all of us, Lord, would remember, Lord, that we do belong to you. Lord, that we're part of your family, God. And help us to reflect that in our life and the things that we're doing. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We give you praise for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.